Thank you, Isabel, for that. And let me just add on to that point. And this is for Ms. Manu, but also for the other panelists. I happen to teach Indigenous people's rights in an international law course. And we do examine a lot of Indigenous governance models. And one of the structural barriers to the participation of Indigenous peoples, as Isabel pointed out, is the question of who's representing them with the state, right? Many times the state creates a structure through a law whereby an Indigenous governance board is established that's completely alien to the traditional methods of decision making in the Indigenous community. And many times the leaders that are appointed through the state owned process are often employees of the state, so they get the salary from the state, which raises question in the Indigenous community about the loyalties of the leaders. In some cases, for instance, in Latin America, there is a law whereby to interact with the state, you need to create an association. You need to be registered as an association on the laws of the, based on the law of the state. But associations have a maximum membership of 1,500 people in the countries concerned. So most of the Indigenous peoples are excluded from, you know, determining who leads them. And they're clearly not the traditional leaders based on the traditional systems of the Indigenous communities. So I want to add to Isabel's comments about how do you deal with such situations and how can we ensure that the right to participate in and contribute to development really reaches the principal rights holders, the people on the ground whose rights are affected. I'll open up for other members. Clentiana.